Genesis chapter 1, 1, 2, or 3. All right, praise the Lord. Father, we just love you. Thank you that you just show us your word today. Cause us to enjoy your presence. Cause us to enjoy your spirit and to know that everything you're telling us is the word of God. And that we'll walk according to it and hear your voice. And we give you praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk about names today. God gave names to God. You know, God gave name to Adam. Amen. He gave Adam his own name. And the Lord God called me. I'm trying to remember the verse because I just added this into my message. Is that, you know, he called his name. He created Adam and he called his name Adam. Amen. He called him by name. He called him, means dirt, basically. That's what it is. Ish. Is the Hebrew. He called him basically Red. You know, he called him Red. You know, it sounds like a nickname, doesn't it? He called him Red, you know. Is that because earth was red. The earth was red. I've got some dirt out there at my place. In fact, that's most all I got. Is out there, you know, it's red, you know, red dirt, because they moved it all around. And we used to have grass, but now we don't have grass. Now we just got dirt. Got a house, but we got dirt. So we're out there, and Janet's out there working hard as she can, because that's what she does. She gets out there and rolls in the dirt. She rolls in the dirt. Yeah, Jack needs some help over there. Janet is available for help in your yard, if you would like her to come over. Praise the Lord. Now, Adam, though, was charged to name all the creatures on the planet. Did you notice that? Adam was charged to do that. So Adam gave them a name. Adam apparently had had authority delegated to him by the Lord. And he said, whatever the name Adam called it, that was the name thereof. So when he named the elephant, it was the elephant. When he named the giraffe, it was the giraffe. And when he named the platypus. That must have been the last one he named. He was tired. Couldn't think of anything else. Platypus. Duck-billed platypus. So he named the platypus, you know. Thank God he got some sleep before he named Eve. Amen. So there wasn't any helper found for Adam among all these animals. God was interested in finding somebody to help. And he wasn't able to find a helper among all these animals that he'd named. Not even the Tyrannosaurus Rex. You know, not the Brachiosaurus. You know, those were all there, right? I mean, you know, you had all these bones and what all. So they're all there. They just didn't make it very far past the flood because the environment changed heavily. The environment changed a lot, you know. There was a mist coming up from the ground, and that kind of kept everybody moist and let them get old. Yeah, that's how come people got to be 900 years old, because there was a lot of moisture. So If you want to stay healthy and get old, stay moist. But the whole creation changed, so I don't think moisture is going to help you. But God changed the whole climate changed, the whole earth changed. There used to be one continent. Well, it used to be one land mass. When the dry land appeared, it used to be one land mass, and then God broke that up. Said in the days of this one particular guy, what was his name? Anybody remember?
No.
Yeah, there was that guy. In the days of that guy, the earth was divided.
Oh, Peleg.
Peleg, yeah. Peleg. And he started with a P. I knew what it was. The earth was divided. What did that mean? Well, it meant the continents broke up. So all of that happened during those early days. Adam named those animals because God gave him the authority to name those things. God names his creation and then he delegates from there. So God named Adam, right? Amen. Now, But God also renamed. It gives you identity. See, God will give you your identity. God will rename you like he did Abraham. He renamed Abraham. Now, what did he do? He called Abraham. He said, you know, Abram, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He called him to give him a promise. Amen? So he called Abram to give him a promise. So when God called Abram, because he saw that God looked to and fro throughout all the earth, seeing someone who put faith in his promise. That's how God looks. He's looking for faith. God is looking for somebody who will believe his promise. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, the Old Testament tells us this. Now, I know we have Calvinism and Calvinists that say that God, you know, chooses this guy and doesn't choose that guy, or chooses this girl and doesn't choose that girl. But here, he tells us he's looking for faith. Now, is faith a gift? Yes. But he said in Romans that he's given to every man the measure of faith, right? He has given to every man the measure of faith. There's a faith on the inside of every one of us. There's faith that God has given. It's part of your DNA. You know, Pastor Jim used to talk about the difference between and he knew nothing about computers, the ROM and the RAM. Yeah, the ROM is the read-only memory. That's where the programming of the computer sits. That's the DOS system, or that's the Windows. What is it now? Windows 11. And it's the Windows system, or it's the iOS, the Apple operating system, right? So that's the operating system. There's the RAM. The RAM is the random access memory. That's where you put all the stuff in, or the devil puts all the stuff in and puts all this information in from the environment. But the read-only memory is the first one. The read-only memory is what the creator and the manufacturer puts in there to cause the thing to breathe and to turn on and to throw something up on the screen. So the read-only memory is what God puts on the inside of you. Before you were in the womb, I knew you. So he's created you when you wake up, when the baby comes out. You know, I was playing with my baby yesterday. I'll get her out. Just so you can see her. All right, there she is. Right there. Would you like to pass this around? No. There she is. It's 5 months old. Aria. Yeah. Yeah, she's great. Yeah, she's having a great time, smiling. Yeah. Yeah, these guys. You can see those other people's babies later. But anyway, so Aria comes out and her mind, she's programmed already. She's programmed with, did you see the joy? She's programmed with all that joy. She's programmed with all that, with everything on. But her lungs know what to do. Her brain knows what to do. Her eyes know what to do. You know, all of that stuff God programs on the inside of you. He programs faith. Well, it doesn't seem like everybody's using their faith. No. Or, what happens is all the other junk comes on the inside. You ever had a computer mess up on you? Yeah. Usually it's because of all the stuff that we add to it, isn't it? In it, brother, computer, dude, yeah, yeah. Raul knows. He said, "See, that's what happens." You know, who was it talking about? My brother-in-law, her brother-in-law, talked about his wife, her sister, and she was in there messing with the working on the laptop. Well, she didn't know as much. He was an IT guy for his whole career. She didn't know quite as much about it, and so she was in there. And something pops up, she goes, oh, yeah, you know, because the devil comes in with temptations on these computers, right? Hey, punch this button, click this link, do all this, you know, because he wants you to get something in there and bring junk in. This is not the message. This message is about changing your name. But for some reason, we're going this way. All right, dangers of preaching. So all of this stuff keeps coming in. Like what happened to Eve there we talked about. You know, God said, don't eat the tree. You know, it's right on the, it's on the, it's that little box that pops up and says, warning, do not touch the tree. But here comes this other email comes in there and says, when it says don't touch the tree, it means try the tree out. See, that's the email you got. Click on this link. And so, well, that computer that that she clicked on some link and it just crashed. I mean, it just, everything just went down, lost all the information, you know. I mean, that computer was almost toast. But thank God, Terry knew what to do. You know, he knew how to come in there and work some kind of a process on it and get it done and get it all back. So, but God does, he puts into you, in your ROM, your read-only memory, your manufacturer's first programming, the same thing that opens your eyes and causes you to go, Mama, that same thing is in there, reaching out for God, looking for God. It's faith. God put faith on the inside of you. So I want you to tell everybody you know that hates God, say, God put the, you know, when you woke up as a baby, God put faith on the inside of you. God put faith on, he's calling to you. That voice that's calling to you and you're looking for, that's God. And he put faith on the inside of you. And that faith is causing you to reach out to him, causing you to reach out to all kinds of things. And you're looking for all kinds of things. The devil's got all kinds of opportunities and options for you to come and fill that need for where the faith needs to go. But God came by his word. And he comes by a guy named Will. Or he comes by a guy named Dan to come, or a girl like Karen or Janet or Joe to come in and tell you what you have on the inside of you. Now, it may be some weird situation that nobody ever thought why would we be meeting here in this place together in this coffee shop or in this ice cream store or in this grocery store? Because God is teaching, is bringing somebody to connect with somebody else, so that person can be Billy Graham, or that person can be, you know, whoever the next great minister of the gospel will be. Amen? Somebody, I mean, Billy Graham got born again from some little podunk preacher somewhere, you know? I can't remember the guy's name. I mean, Saul got healed by Ananias. Ananias, did you ever hear of Ananias again? That wasn't the same Ananias that died. It wasn't that guy. It was a different. Ananias is kind of like John. You know, it's a common name. So when in Acts chapter 9, when God goes and visits Ananias, hey, I want you to go down and visit this Paul guy, Saul guy, and I want you to lay hands on him, tell him I've got a great ministry for him, and all of this. Well, Ananias, you never heard of him again later. I don't know what he was doing. He's probably ministering in a small church somewhere, but he calls him because he was in the neighborhood. You call a guy who's close by. You know, if you need a doctor, you know, you call one close by. You don't call one from the Mayo Clinic. You call one from down the street. You go to the urgent care. So this guy was the urgent care. He was on call. Ananias was on call. And he calls him and says, hey, I want you to go down this Saul guy. Well, he funny, in the newspaper, he had read about Saul, or saw him on TV, something. He saw stories about Saul, or heard about him at church, because, you know, at the church, they tell you all the stories of all the bad things that are happening in the world, you know. So he calls, he says, hey, I want you to, that guy's coming to your town. He's over here. I knocked him off his horse, and I want you to go visit him and lay hands on him, and he's blind, and I want you to heal him. Okay. So he did that. He did that. He calls him because God, he had that voice, that spirit on the inside of him. You've got that same spirit on the inside of you. The same spirit is on the inside of you. The same spirit of God. To touch the sick, to heal the sick, to raise the dead is on the inside of you. It's on the inside of every person, every individual. Now, some may do it more often than others because God's got a specific anointing on them to do it, and they may be raised up to do such a thing. Ananias looks like he just got used once, or this one time that we heard about. Maybe he did it every week at church, but he only did it that once that God needed him to be put into the Scripture. So all of these things that God does, he names you. He gives you a name. He's looking for faith. What are we talking about? How he's looking for faith. And he called on Abraham because he looked in all throughout the whole earth looking for faith. And Abraham was his guy. Abraham was he wasn't even in the church. Abraham was a minister in another denomination. He was a minister in a pagan cult. His God's name was Sin, right? You know, the moon God, his name was Sin. Yeah. Oh, Sin, we worship you. You know, so they came in and worshiped Sin. And so he's in there. And God said, hey, Abram, I want you to believe me and I'll make you the father. I got a deal for you. Believe me and I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So his name is Abram. His name is Abram at that moment. But then God called him. He believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. He believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. He took that faith that God had put on the inside of him. God called on that faith and said, I'm going to make you a promise. If you will believe me. And then that righteousness came alive. The righteousness of God moved on the inside of Abram. Amen? Now he was, you could almost say, because that faith was given to him by God, and his faith was looking forward to the promise that was given to Eve and Adam, and saying the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. God taught him the doctrine of salvation and said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Not just one nation, not just one son, but boy, that's a big promise, and that's a big, because they hadn't had kids. He's already 75 years old. They hadn't had any kids. And he's promised them kids. 25 years later, the promise is still going. You ever had a long-term promise from the Lord? Okay, God. See, it's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. It's been 15 years. It's been 20 years. 20 years is usually the one where you give up, right? It's been 20 years. It's 25 years. All of a sudden, here comes God in three persons, like the Holy, Holy, Holy song. God in three persons. Three guys come walking up. Three guys come walking up to the camp. Abraham recognizes him. He said, ooh, that's God. You know, it's so funny that Abraham recognized God in the Trinity. He recognizes three guys as God. Singular. But he recognizes this is the Lord. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So they come walking in. So they come walking into the camp, you know. And then he says, after dinner, they're kind of sitting around smoking cigars. I don't know if they're smoking cigars. Drinking brandy? No, they're probably drinking water. Yeah, grape juice. And so here they are. They're in the camp. And legs crossed, leaning back, reclining, you know, like they did at the Last Supper. They're reclining because that's how they do in the East. Hey, by the way, your wife's going to have a son. And of course, Sarah's over here in the back room listening, like girls do, listening. And she starts cackling. And those guys all heard her because they wanted to make sure, because they knew she'd listen. And so he's telling Abram that he's going to have that son, and she, of course, hears it. And then he's talking to her. Then one of the figures, comes in later and says, I noticed you was laughing while we said that, you know, what we said about this baby thing. And she said, oh, I did not. And she said, oh, but you did. You did laugh. You're going to be having about the time of life, about 9 months later, Sarah's going to be having a baby. You're going to be having a baby. So these guys came in and they declared that promise to her. God had given him a promise. He was going to be the father of many nations. God was looking for faith. You know what? The faith that's on the inside. Do you think God, Abraham was, God came in and touched that faith and gave Abraham that opportunity to receive the promise. Again, he's looking throughout all the earth for somebody who will trust in his promise. So that's you. You did that. So that promise is still existent today. You still have a promise from God. God's promise to you is that he is going to bless you and fulfill everything on the inside of you. Romans 8:32 says, how shall he not, he who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So what he's doing is blessing you. Does that mean you don't have trouble? No, it means you have plenty of trouble. You have plenty of trouble because the enemy wants to come against you and say, you know, what he's trying to do is to come against two things. The blessing of God, but first of all, the ministry of the gospel. That's what the enemy wants to destroy, because he wants to destroy your joy. He wants to destroy your hope. So that's what the enemy wants to do. And so therefore that destroys the gospel ministry, because he's got you looking at your problems. He's got you looking at your disappointments. Amen? Mm-hmm. Disappointment is not from God. Disappointment is faith in something other than God. Faith in some other promise, some other source other than God. That's what disappointment is, and it's a lie from the devil. Amen? God changed Abram's name. He changed Abram's name to Abra what? Abraham. They would say that. Cover your mouth and say, Ham. Because that's a nasty sound. Is that, you know, is the Hebrew tongue is kind of a, it's guttural. It's got all kinds of sounds in it. And so Abraham, you know, Sarah got by a little bit better. Sarah. So Sarah. So he changed God. God changed the name of Abram to Abraham. Abraham. And he changed the name of Sarah to Sarah. Sarai to Sarah. What did he do? He put that ah, that H, that Yah. Because God's name is Yah. Way. And he put his name in their name. Isn't that powerful? How he put their name, his name in their name. God put his name in your name. He put his name in your ROM, in your read-only memory. He now has named you. What do we say? What does the scripture say? He says, every man's spirit bears, our spirit bears witness with his. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. So he has changed that on the inside of you. He changed your name. He changed it, gave you a new name. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So he did that in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 17, verse 5. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. In verse 15 of chapter 17, it says, then the Lord God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah will be her name. And I will bless her and give you a son also of her. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Kings of people shall be of her. Amen. Now these are people who believed God. These are people who took the gift of God, faith, and put it according to the promise. Romans chapter 4. I didn't write this one down, but it just came to me.
What'd you say?
Romans chapter 4. Let's see here. Oh, no, sorry. Hebrews chapter 4. Sorry, kids. Hebrews chapter 4. Okay. Read this last time. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word, listen, the word preached did not profit them. This is talking about the folks in Exodus, in the Old Testament saints coming out of Egypt. For the promise, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them. They had the promise of deliverance of the Lord. Deliverance of the Lord out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. So that word that we have preached, the gospel preached to us, the good news, as well as to them. That was good news, wasn't it? But the word preached did not profit them. Now they did get delivered out, but they didn't believe. The word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So he spoke those words. The words were spoken from the foundation of the world. From the very beginning of the world, God talked about a rest that belonged to his people. Where? Genesis chapter 3. For the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, yet the serpent shall bruise his heel. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's the first messianic promise, right? First messianic promise was right back there in Genesis. And God carried that through. All right, so Abraham mixed faith with that word, with the word preached to him. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Over here in Genesis chapter 32, Genesis 32, verse 28, He's talking to Jacob, back in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. He was trying to escape Esau. And he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." Then he said, "I will not let you go, except you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, Prince of God. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and have prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray you, your name." And he said, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him. And he blessed him there. So the angel of God came. Jacob had wrestled with the angel. And God said he prevailed. And he called his name Israel. He changed his name right there. God changed his name because he had a promise for Jacob. He had a promise for Jacob. And he's fulfilling the promise by changing his name. Amen? So he changes his name because now anytime anybody calls him by name, it's the name of God. Anybody calls him by name, he calls him the name of God. Same thing with Abraham. Abraham. You changed your name and now your name is Abraham. My grandfather did that. Back in the 40s. He did that. His name was Martin Valetich. He was from Cleveland, Ohio. He was up in the place where all the immigrants had come in. He was in Cleveland. And so there a lot of immigrants up in that area. But he moved. He was in the aircraft industry and ended up moving down to Georgia. Everybody's named Smith. American name. All the folks in came in through Ellis Island. They all kind of moved in up there in Minnesota, where my Some of my people were in Minnesota and Iowa. The other of my people were in Cleveland and Buffalo, all that kind of thing. I'm a first generation Texan. I cannot run for office as a fifth generation Texan. You know, my parents got here as fast as they could. My mother was born in Cleveland. My dad was born in St. Paul. You know, I'm not even from here. You know, I don't have that Texas heritage. You know, I didn't come here with Santa Ana. You know, I didn't fight at the Alamo. You know, so we here we have. I lost my train of thought right there. So at any rate, my grandfather changed his name. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. We need help. Janet, even if you couldn't help me with that. So he changed his name. He dropped the T-I-C-H. He dropped the titch and just Vail. Marty Vail. Got to be calling just Marty Vail. Just sound like an American guy of some kind. So he changed his name. He changed his name so he could function in a new world, in a new reality. Amen? So he did that. But God, let that guy in. And so he could function in this new world. God changed the name of Abraham. He also changed the name of Jacob to Israel. All right. Let's look over and then God. Remember, God named Adam. Well, if you look over in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, he commands Zacharias. Now he's going to have a son, and he commands Zacharias to name his son John. So God is naming these children based on his mission for them. Amen. So he's naming people. God is naming people. John, Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Sorry about that. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Then over here in the same chapter, in verse 31, "And the angel said to Mary," verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So God has named John, and then God names Jesus. And praise God, he named you. Amen? By faith, through faith, he has named you. He's given you a new name. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Oh, by the way, in John 1:42, you notice that Jesus, let's look at that. John 1:42. You remember what that one was? Now here, Jesus had John had pointed out Jesus, and two of John's disciples says, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, there he is." In verse 38, Jesus turned and saw that these guys, and they began to follow him. He said, "What do you seek?" They said, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Master, where do you dwell?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Anybody know what the 10th hour is? 10th hour may start, 10th hour of the day. That starts at 6 o'clock, so the 10th hour of the day would be about 4 o'clock. Be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 10 hours. 10 hours from daybreak. Now granted, Jewish days start the night before, at 6 o'clock. The 24-hour period starts at 6 p.m. at sundown. But when they talk about the day, that means it's starting at 6 o'clock in the morning when the sun comes up. So when the sun comes up, they say, for instance, when they were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, these are not drunk as you suppose, being about the ninth hour of the day. I mean, the third hour of the day, sorry. The third hour of the day is what? 6 o'clock, 7, 8, 9. 9 o'clock is 9 o'clock in the morning. Some brother wrote a book called 9 o'clock in the morning about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this is the 10th hour of the day. It's about 4 o'clock. It's kind of getting late in the day. So Jesus says, yeah, come see where I dwell. Verse 40, John 1, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first finds his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And 42 says, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, looked at him, Jesus looked upon him, he said, you are Simon, son of Jonah, you should be called Cephas, a stone. So what did he do? He changed his name right there on the spot. Just met him, changed his name. He just met Peter and he changed his name right there, which is by interpretation, a stone. Amen. So God's changing his name. God changes names, doesn't he? I want you to just receive a name change today, if you haven't, because you've already been changed. Your name has already been changed. You have been changed from who you were to who you are. You're a new creation, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. Romans chapter 8 says, but you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And these are the following verses, 10, 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So Jesus comes in and your same body that was alive is now dead because of Jesus, because of faith in His finished work. Jesus is the finished work. You are dead. Right? Remember the verse we read over in Colossians chapter 3? It says, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also raise up or quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. So you have been raised up. You've been dead and raised. Amen. Don't forget to let the amen. The Spirit has raised you up from the dead. Just like Abraham. He had that faith and God raised him and gave him a new name, didn't he? God raised him and gave him a new name. What's the importance of this? Is you have a new name. Listen to me. You have a new name. See, God has now identified you not on the earth, but He's identified you with heaven. He's identified you with Him. Abraham. Not Abram, but Abraham. Not Sarai, but Sarah. So Abraham and Sarah were identified with God. Jacob was identified with God. When God's promise came to him, He identified them with Himself by their name. You are identified now with God because His Spirit dwells on the inside of you. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, remember that back, we just read that in Romans? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He wants you to look at it. Behold means what? Behold. You know, if he tells you, somebody says, behold, you know, they kind of get your attention. Behold, take a look. You know, I don't know, what magicians do that or whatever. Somebody does that. You know, they kind of use that word, behold, and something happens. The curtain comes up. right? So they want you to look at this. God said, look, I have made you a new creation. You are in. Behold, all things are become new. Do you know all things have become new? All things. Gee, I didn't know all things have become new. I looked in the mirror, looked all the same. Didn't look any better, except your eyes and your joy. Your joy is now. God brought joy onto the inside of you, and it's coming out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah chapter 56, I'm going to read some verses here about the name. Even to them will I give, these are promises to Israel. Isaiah 56, verse 5. Even to them will I give in my house, within my walls, a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name. Woo! He's going to give them an everlasting name. Where's that name come from? From faith in His promise. All of this is about Abraham's promise, isn't it? It's not from Moses' laws. It's from Abraham's promise. Every promise is from God's promise to Abraham. Every promise to Israel. Because I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And they claimed their heritage, right? The father, my God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I will give them an everlasting name. Isaiah 62, 2. See, these are the messianic chapters of Isaiah. Isaiah 62, 2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Called by a new name. You're called by a new name. Well, they were called, they even talked about them. They said they called them first Christians over here in, you know, that town. They called them Christians in Corinth. They called them because they were little Christs, you know, little Jesuses. All right? So they called them by a new name. They referred to them by a new name. Isaiah 65, 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse, your name. You should leave your name unto my chosen, for the Lord shall slay thee and call his servants by another. So you're dead. You remember? He's going to slay the old name, and he's going to call his servants by another name. So God's given you a new name. Do you have a new name?
Yes.
You know, in foreign countries, they actually do change their names. When they become a Christian, they'll change their name. Some of them change their name to Peter. Some of them, I mean, their name, it was like an African tribal name. But then they changed their name to Peter. Or they changed their name to Paul. Or they changed their name to, you know, like so many slaves did in the early part of the American heritage, is they took names of, because they didn't have last names. They didn't have any last names. It was just, you know, Jim. You know, and they named them after President Jefferson. That's why you have Jeffersons, a lot of Jeffersons, a lot of Washingtons. You know, who are black heritage people have the heritage of Jefferson and Washington and some other famous names of presidents who were liberty fighters who. They looked upon to as those who had assisted in the freedom of the black people from slavery. So they would change their names because they didn't have a name, so they just took a name, right? They just took a name. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, and to the letter to the church at Pergamos. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, and by the way, interestingly enough, overcomers are spoken about in each of the churches. Amen. Overcomers are spoken about to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, are spoken of in each of the churches of Revelation. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone We really don't know specifically what any of those are. At least I don't yet. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knows. So you have a new name written. Say it again. To him that overcometh will I give. And you read down, you skip, leave out the earlier parts. And say, give a new name. I'll give him a new name. Written. Which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Well, it talks about Jesus having a name that nobody knew except Jesus. And the church at Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh, there we go, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven, from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. I will write upon. Jesus wrote upon you his name. Jesus wrote upon you his name. I've got the name of God. There's a song out now about my new name. You can go find it, Google it somewhere. It's a great song. It's talking about your new name. God gave you a new name. You have a new name. And look at Isaiah chapter 43, last verse. But now says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and that he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name in your mind. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Neither shall the flame can't even find any kindling. We have a friend of ours, when she talked about building a fire, she talked about getting the kindling. She's like a fire expert, Suzanne. And she talked about kindling. I love it, kindling. So the fire will not kindle upon you. There's no kindling. The fire can't find, the devil can't even find any kindling to catch fire. There's nothing can even catch fire. You know, it's like those three children in that fiery furnace. If they came out and they didn't even, their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. Not only them, they weren't burned, but the clothes didn't even smell. You know, your clothes, because God's given you new clothes too, hasn't he? He's going to give you new clothes. God has given you a new name. He's given you a new name. Well, I didn't get my new birth certificate. Well, that's okay. You don't need that because it didn't come from this world. Amen? It comes here. It's in your heart. Amen? Because the what did we say earlier? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So that's what you give. Listen, I want people to have an understanding of that. Is that the Spirit bears witness. You are self-contained. You are self-contained. The outward man is perishing day by day. You are self-contained because the Holy Spirit and the living God live on the inside of you. And He is bearing witness with your spirit. You have all, you have the Word of God and the truth of God being revealed to you. And you are worshiping Him. He doesn't need you to have some other, you know, source of His love and His grace. He is speaking to you right now. You don't need Wi-Fi. You don't need a Wi-Fi connection or a Wi-Fi password. Just trying to connect it to something we have. You know how the Bible in Revelation had, it was trying to identify some of the things that he was seeing, and there were things he couldn't even describe. These are some of the things that we now understand. But and we can connect them to what we understand of how communication is done, is that the Holy Spirit comes and communicates with you. He doesn't have to have an outward source. You don't have to have a Wi-Fi password. You are always connected to the living God because His Spirit is already on the inside of you. You are connected. You don't need to go find him somewhere. You don't need to go dig him up somewhere. He is on the inside of you. He's given you a new name. He's given you an IP address. I don't know if some people know what that is. Some people don't. Is that he knows exactly how to identify you no matter where you are. You know, no matter where you are in the world, if you have this phone, it's a computer. Anybody know that? There's a little computer. It is a computer. It's more powerful than the computer that was on the space shuttle. I mean, like multiple, how many times? You know, I mean, it's just incredibly way past, you know, what they had on space. They went to the moon. They went to the moon. There's that baby again. They went to the moon in that little lunar thing, that little lunar module. You know, were you alive yet? Okay, 1969. They went to the moon in that little thing. I mean, it had like an abacus in it compared to this. Jack, didn't it? It had like an abacus in it compared to this. And they went all the way to the moon and back. And you've got this. This is knowledge shall go to and fro. The Bible's talking about knowledge shall go to and fro throughout all the whole earth. And then Jesus is coming. Oh, I think we're close. Amen? I think we're close. Is the God is coming soon because so many things have come to pass. But see, this thing here, it's got this IP address. I was talking about computers and IP addresses. You thought I forgot. His IP address is so it understands where you are in the whole world. This computer right here, God looks throughout all the whole earth and he finds my IP address. He knows where I am. He knows right where you are. You know, when your brother's in college, you know, he knows right where he is. He knows right where you are. Because you don't, even whether you have to carry a phone or a tablet, he knows right where you are. Isn't that so powerful? Because he gave you a new name. Because of faith, he gave you a new name. Because of faith, he gave you a new name. And so what I want you to encourage you is that to remember that. It's like when we take the communion, the simplicity of the communion is that you would remember what Jesus did. Well, remember this, is God gave you a new name. He put his spirit on the inside of your spirit. He walks around with you. When you lay down, he lays down. When you rise up, he rises up. God is with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Your battery doesn't even run down. Do you know that? Isn't that powerful? You know your battery, you don't even turn off at night. You don't even have to plug in. You do have to eat, I guess. You know, drink some water. But God is always with you. And no matter what, he is always in you to will and to do. He is in you both to will it and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Amen. I'll hush. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's a good God. Amen. He changed your name. He's looking for faith. He found it. Everybody's got the measure of faith. It's on the inside. It's on your read-only memory. It's part of what God gave you. Amen. It's like in a car, you get a steering wheel and, you know, you get a steering wheel and an engine. Well, that's what he gave you. He's got everything that pertains to life and godliness. So he gave you the measure of faith. I don't have any faith. No. He promised. You got it. The faith is in you. Father, we thank you for this faith. We thank you for the new name. We got a new name. It's on the inside of us. It's a name that I know. The one who receives it knows it. I got it. I got a new name. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm new. I'm new from the inside out. And the inside is coming out. The inside is coming out. It's you're squeezing it out. Father, you're just bringing it out. So we thank you for it. And we give you praise. Thank you that we are ministers of the gospel. We are ministers of reconciliation. We're in the world to declare the good news of the gospel, to be a light, to be a light and salt. And we are light and salt. It's not something we're supposed to be, it's something we are. I wake up and I'm light. I wake up and I'm salt. Thank you, Father. As I walk around, I'm just saying, use me. Use me right there. Somebody, I stood right next to them, and all of a sudden they saw that there was light. I stood right next to them, and all of a sudden they just, whoa. That was salty. That was something new. They tasted something that they weren't used, that weren't expecting. So, Father, we thank you. That's us. And we give you praise and give you thanks. Let us do that everywhere with the gospel and the good news and the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.